Welcome back to Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City and KTAL LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. I'm your host for today's show, Donna Stevens of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I am talking with my co-worker, Carol Ann Fugali, who is the Education and Outreach Director of UGWA. Before the break, we were talking about the four steps of the Active Hope process, which helps people to deal with their feelings around climate change. Those four steps are gratitude, honoring our pain for the world, seeing with new eyes, and going forth. So, Carol Ann, you've already talked about the first step, gratitude. Can you give us a brief example of some general gratitude practice?
Hi, Donna. Yes, thank you. I would love to. A good place to start is to look for the times when you know you're feeling grateful. I like the saying, to wander the world with grateful eyes and see what that feels like. You see the beautiful flowers, you love your warm socks, or a smile from someone you don't know. You begin to take note of the beauty of the world, scan the landscape and the area where you are, and say, what do I appreciate? You find that you gravitate towards certain things. Where does my attention settle that brings a smile to my face? We call it hunting for the good stuff. Gratitude goes beyond our own selves and grows our capacity to be with each other, to be with this planet, and to serve. Regular gratitude practice can be an easy source to draw upon if you are familiar with it, and it can be comforting in times of difficult moments.
Okay, thanks for that. What about the second step, honoring our pain for the world? What does that mean?
Sure, indeed. You know, the second step can be pretty difficult, but it's freeing at the same time. So a lot of people might say, what is happening to our world? Some people call it the great unraveling, the dying of nature, disruption of our climate, shocking impacts of injustice. And how does this make you feel? Our social norm is not to talk about your grief or your anger or your fear, because people will look at you as being a depressed person or even being a depressing person. Our culture has learned how to keep us quiet by persuading us that this is an evidence of a personal neurotic situation or an oversensitivity, a personal deficiency. It's a cultural taboo. So this keeps people shut down. But fortunately, more and more people are waking up and realizing that this pain is real. So the good news is that painful feelings can be activating signals that alert us or nudge us to address issues. By allowing ourselves to be shaken or stirred by disturbing information, we can let it rouse us to respond. So a starting point for honoring pain for the world is recognizing the valuable functions feeling the pain can serve, because these feelings can act as a life-preserving cause to action. So a good starting point also is to notice when we feel something. Don't quickly move on or shut it down. Take notice of the arising feelings, because it's about making space to hear ourselves. We honor our pain for the world as an expression of our care. If we didn't care, it wouldn't hurt like it does. And sometimes when the pain becomes so great, we need to practice something called breathing through. Now, this is not something that we can really talk about in this show because it's a longer process. But just remember that you can always turn to your breath, which is your friend, and it can really get you through some difficult times. So the bottom line is that you can't purge yourself from the intense feelings, because it will always come back and begin again. We are becoming strong to face it and not be afraid of it and recognize it for what it is. If you honor your pain for the world, this is proof positive that you are a compassionate being and you are compassionate, and you know that you are interconnected to the world. We are a part of this vast and vibrant web of life that has become very real. Our pain for the world grows not of private craziness. It grows out of caring for all that is. We feel because we care. It shows we are connected with all forms of life.
Thank you for that explanation. I can see how that would be a really difficult step, because for most of us, I think that when we hurt, our very first reaction is to make it stop, which is exactly the opposite of what you're saying needs to be done in this situation. So I just want to review briefly for listeners who are just joining us that we are going over the four steps of active hope, which is a process to strengthen our ability to make a difference in the world. The first step is gratitude. The second, honoring our pain for the world. And we've talked about both of those. What is step three?
Step three, I really like. It's seeing with new eyes. And it basically is it's a change in perspective. And one change in perspective is seeing things through the systems approach. And it's a holistic approach. So systems thinking bridges between the big and the small. It's a relationship between parts and wholes. So imagine a painting from one of the French Impressionists, such as Monet's Lily Pads. And if you stand close to the painting, you're not able to see the whole. Instead, you see a blurred grouping of colors. We need to stand from a distance in order for the full beauty of the painting to come into view. And this is what systems thinking is really about. And one of the things I love most is the synergy. And it's how things act together in a way to create something more. Sometimes we say that 1 + 1 = 2 and a bit. Because the whole is something more than just the sum of the parts. Like when you bring elements together, something new is created that is more than just the two elements. Something new emerges, the creativity. And an example is maybe two people singing in harmony or team spirit that happens only when people are working together. So active hope, it's not about predicting what will happen. It's rooted in desire. You know, what would I like to have happen? And acknowledging that there is a surprise force.
Right. Yeah, that all makes sense. What about the final step of active hope, which I feel kind of pulls everything together, the step called going forth? Can you please talk about that, Carol Ann?
Sure, you bet. Imagine the image of a spider where the body of the spider is the current moment and the legs are the possibilities of happenings. Some of these happenings will come to a dead end, but some will turn out better than expected. And so sometimes we just have to do what needs to be done, no matter what the ending point could be.
Yeah, I mean, we never know what's going to happen next. I think some of our listeners, after hearing this show, might be interested in finding out about the free online training of Active Hope. Can you tell people where they could find that?
Sure. You can just Google Active Hope Training, or you can go to activehope.training.
Okay, great. And we just have a couple minutes left in the show, Carol Ann. Do you have any parting advice that you'd like to offer to our listeners?
I would love to. You know, I like to tell people, think like a lark. The skylark is a songbird that breeds in Europe and Asia and has been described as being rather unremarkable in appearance. But they're known for the song of the male, which has a series of lively, bubbling, high-pitched tones fluctuating up and down the musical scale. The incredible aspect of the song is the ability of the male to continue singing for long periods of time, up to 20 or 30 minutes during the breeding season. And Robin Wall Kimmerer, a writer and botanist with deep roots in Potawatomi culture, says, "If you want to know what your responsibilities are, you should ask, what are my gifts?" The lark has a gift of a beautiful song, so its responsibility is to wake the world each morning. So what do you do best naturally? Whatever it is, you can focus and direct your gift on targeting to solve the climate crisis. Each one of us has a special gift that we can redefine to help during this time. Our changing climate is the one tidal wave that will come crashing down on all of us. So we need to be actively using our gift, promoting the future we envision, and persistence. Boy, the song of the skylark sure is persistent. So let's do the same. Let's learn from ourselves, learn from others, listen to the science, and keep at our work and stay the course, being unrelenting as if our future depends on it, because it does.
Well, thank you for those really inspirational words. That was a good way to end a show of some very alarming news. So I would like to thank my guests for today, climate activist Mike Fugali, the eco-monitoring coordinator of Aldo Leopold Charter School, and UGWA's own education and outreach director, Carol Ann Fugali, also a climate activist and educator. Many thanks to Gila Members Community Radio station manager and audio engineer Marcus Hansen, and audio engineer Michael Allen of Las Cruces Community Radio. And thank you also to the boards of these stations for keeping everything going during these difficult times. Thanks to you, our listeners, for supporting the station and tuning into this week's program. I'm Donna Stevens of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. Please join us next week for another edition of Earth Matters. This is what community radio looks like.